Well, hey there, Jonathan Dorr with you once again for the weekly podcast. Thanks once again for the pleasure and the privilege of your time as we work through some key concepts here that are hopefully really going to give you practical steps you can use to move your life along to another level. You only get one life. You might as well live it fully, contribute as much as possible. And it seems that many people don't get to do that. And you don't have to be one of them. Nobody's better or worse than anybody else, but you do have the privilege and the possibility of creating the life that you really desire. And each week I try and bring you some new insights. We talk about so many principles, about knowing what you want, about being clear, defining what it is that really matters to you in life, what you want to have in your life, the people, the places, the situations, but always you'll hear me focus on contribution. This isn't about being the richest person in the graveyard. This is about fully developing, learning as much as you can, growing, overcoming your own personal barriers and challenges so that in time you can contribute as much as possible to other people. Now this week, I'm going to introduce you to another idea that's been on my mind for a few weeks, and it started from a conversation I had with somebody a few months ago. And this was a young person, a friend of the family who was coming over to visit my wife, and they were chatting, and then I got talking to them, and we're talking to them about exercise, and we just got onto this topic of exercise, and it's a big topic for everybody. I mean, you know, you might be an absolute fitness freak, you might be at the other end of the spectrum, but exercise is so central to our lives. And like so many people, this person was just, you know, they hated exercise. And just in this conversation, they were just talking about how difficult it is, how they dislike it, how it's just not something they're really into. And that they literally using these words like hate. They're going, oh, I hate running, or I hate this, or I hate exercise. And I was really struck by that because, as you know from listening to me regularly, that exercise is a huge part of life for me, and it meets big needs and it provides so much in my life, and it has for kind of about 25 years. And I was struck. I was like, wow, you know, that you can meet somebody whose perspective, whose position is just so different to yours. And I realized that this person was facing a lot of challenges in life and they were looking to grow, but this was a real sticking point for them. So I went away and I was thinking, you know, just on and off over the next few weeks about the stuff that they'd said, how strongly they'd spoken and how difficult it was for them. And it really triggered off for me this whole concept of associations. And you may have heard it before, you probably haven't, but associations is a principle in personal development about, you know, experiences that we have, and then we associate certain feeling states to them. Or it can work the other way. We can be in a feeling state and then encounter something, and then we link the two things up together. Now, before we talk about it in more detail, we begin just by understanding that, you know, how does our brain form these kinds of associations, these strong emotional responses to certain events or places and people? Well, it's all about sort of neural plasticity. It's about the fact that you think of your brain like you know those images you've seen sometimes of like the earth at night, and you'll see planes flying and these graphics, and you'll see or a freeway at night. You know the time-lapse photography? You ever seen that? Like time-lapse photography of a freeway at night with all the, you know, the car lights flying past. And our brain's a bit like that. It has these kind of what we call neural highways or neural pathways. And it, you know, inside these pathways are billions upon billions upon millions and billions of synapses. Tiny little neural structures, and in between each synapse, tiny electrical charges move. And these are the basis of our thoughts, of our thinking states, our feeling states. Obviously, there's a lot more complexity here, but for the sake of keeping the podcast short and accessible, we just want to give you the basics. But basically, it works like this. The more that we think about certain things, or the strength of a particular experience conditions this particular or a particular neural pathway. So, you know, constantly if you're really afraid of something, that'll be a strong neural pathway. And it'll be linked to an association. Like we've had an experience of something, we've felt fear, and we've what I call grooved in a neural pathway. So we all have, you know, basic temperament, right? We all have different sort of basic personalities and temperaments. But it's often our experiences and our thinking about our experiences that begin to create these neural pathways, these neural superhighways. The good news is we can change them. It's not incredibly easy, but it's definitely possible. So I want to give you that sort of hope at the start. So let's talk a bit more about associations. You know, let me clarify them a little bit more. They're basically, we have a feeling state, and then we encounter something, and then we link up that feeling state to what we encounter. Or the other way, we can encounter something, have a strong feeling about it, and it reinforces that cycle. I'll give you a couple of basics. Like, think of phobias. Like, some people are really afraid of dogs. Now, most likely as a child, they've encountered a dog in a negative situation. They've been very afraid. So what have they done? Every time they see a dog, there's an association there. There's this link, this association between the stimuli, which is the dog, and this neural pathway, this feeling state. And it becomes a really strong association. I'll give you another one. Like, imagine the tragedy, and I hope this hasn't happened to anybody, but imagine losing a loved one on Christmas Day. You know, I knew this person a few years ago who lost a father on Christmas Day. And then you can obviously understand that for many years, every time Christmas Day comes around, which for many people is a day of family and fun and celebration, they're obviously going to have a different association. You know, they might link up in their head that Christmas Day is about loss, it's about sadness, it's about losing somebody. So part of this is normal, right? So it's kind of like we're not going to judge ourselves and feel bad for creating associations. You know, we do the best we can at a given time. Like, if something happens to us and we respond to it in a particular way, and these associations become really strong. But the good news is that we actually have the power to create different associations. It's a really important principle. So coming back to that friend of mine at the start who really hates exercise, I was really, you know, convinced that they must have negative associations, that they must, you know, when it comes to exercise. I mean, how else would you explain the fact that when I think of exercise, I have one set of feeling and thinking states, and when they think of exercise, they have a different one? Well, it has to be associations. It has to be experiences that we've had and how we've thought and linked up those experiences in our heads. So for her, when she's thinking about, you know, running, for her, it's all about, I hate running. I get sweaty and I get hurts. And I, you know, that could be as simple as she hasn't been taught how to ease into a program. So she might've gone out there and just done too much too soon and wiped herself out and felt really sore. And all of a sudden there's an association that running equals pain. Or running equals, you know, feeling yucky and covered in sweat and feeling gross and not wanting to do it again. Or, you know, you might not feel comfortable in your exercise clothes and start thinking, man, I look terrible, and you associate feeling bad about yourself to it. But the good news is that we can change it, that we can begin to change those associations. So I want to give you some basic ones first, and we'll keep it in this area of exercise for a minute, because it's, you know, this is an area of life that everybody should have at least some relationship with, right? So if exercise is a hard one for you, we got to associate different things to it. So for example, like for me with cycling, it's associated to a whole bunch of other things. It's not just, well, I must do exercise. I must get out and ride this damn bike and I must get fit. You know, I have, you know, really strong social scene. So there's a whole bunch of people I ride with. And, you know, you have coffee afterwards and it's, you know, the sun's out and you're hanging there with people. Or you have music on, you know, you're riding on your own. You've got your favorite stuff on iPod. You're just listening to great stuff. Or, you know, so there's an association there. So I use associations over time to help me do the things that otherwise could be difficult to do. And another simple one with exercise is to choose exercise you love. I mean, tons of people go, well, the only thing they know is to run. So they go, I'm going to go and run. And they wreck their knees and they feel terrible and they don't enjoy it and it hurts. And, you know, and they just associate all that stuff with it straight away. But it could be swimming or, you know, underwater table tennis, whatever. But you have to associate exercise to exercise that you really want to do. It might just be walking. It might just be you find walking's really great. Or playing a really competitive sport at the highest national or international level. But use these associations to work for you. And you've got to be mindful of them, obviously, don't you? I mean, you've got to start to think to yourself, if I'm going to, you know, have these experiences in life, then why don't I begin to be in charge of what I associate to them? That's a big paradigm shift. I hope you're getting that you actually have that power and capacity. So one of the first things that you have to do to really create new associations is to break some of your previous ones. And I'll give you a classic example. So we spend a lot of time on the beach, right? So we live a little bit inland, but we spend a lot of time getting to the coast. And one of our favorite places we go, it's about 2.5 hour drive. There's another place we go, it's about 1.5 hours. But either way, I've still got really young kids, right? So anybody that's had younger children will remember that driving any serious distance with young children, is challenging. We don't, you know, we didn't put DVD players in the car. We kind of had this romantic idea that there'd be conversations and, you know, talking and fun games on the road. And no, the answer is no, not really. It turned into a massive yelling and screaming match with threats of death pretty much the whole way. But here was me, right? So I'm pretty, you know, goal-centered, sort of driven kind of person, you know, and I'd be like, right, the drive to the coast is 2.5 hours. We will not stop. No, it doesn't matter if someone is dying to go to the bathroom. I'm just like, no, we don't stop. We don't stop. We just drive. And, you know, often the drive would be really stressful. You know, there'd be like the traffic would be bad and I would just be like, going to get there. And so what do I have? You know, obviously, when it comes to the beach, I've got an association there, which is the beach equals, you know, relaxation, family, fun, you know, fitness, sun, all that stuff. But my association to getting there was very different. My association to getting there was stress, anger, you know, just conflict, because I had these rules that I had these, you know, rules about this is how we do it. We drive in one go and we drive as fast as possible and we get there as quickly as possible. And more recently, this is one of the cool things about, you know, having children is they begin to actually educate you a bit too, is I just started to realize that I couldn't do it this way anymore, that I couldn't do it. And I had to break the trip. And just 2 days ago, we were driving down the coast and we stopped. You know, the kids needed to stop for a bathroom break. And what do kids want to do? They want to play on parks. And acorns were dropping everywhere from these oak trees. So what do? They spend like 40 minutes collecting acorns, right? I mean, my kids are still really little. So, and then all of a sudden I found myself standing there and the sun was out and it was just perfect weather. And there's this stunning oak tree and the kids are picking up acorns. And I'm just like, just watching them, watching their joy, watching their simplicity, watching their peace, you know, as they did this. And then I went and got a coffee and we sat in this great cafe together for a while and we all had plenty to eat and then went to the bathroom for the 10th time. And then we got to the beach and we were probably took us 2 hours longer than normal. But the first step for me now in breaking that association of driving equals stress, conflict, is just to break the existing patterns. So whatever's difficult for you or something you don't look forward to, because we want to get practical now. So we want to focus in now on something that you find hard to do. If there's something that you really hate to do or you find hard to do, now assuming it's something you just can't drop altogether, then we probably want to look at your associations. What have you linked up to that thing that you must do, whether it's like study or chores or something in the house or something you have to do or go? You've probably got negative associations. Now, again, assuming you have to keep doing it, because if it's something you don't have to keep doing, then why keep doing it, right? But I'm going to give you 3 quick steps. Number one is we want to choose something that you currently find has negative associations. So if you're journaling or you're listening to me somewhere, what is that thing? What is something that you need to do that's difficult? It's going to have negative associations. And I'm going to give you another example to help you. So given the speaking load that I've had over the years, you know, working with so many people in live audiences, travel was a huge part of my life. And for a long time, I'd just be traveling and traveling and traveling. And look, people think it's really glamorous, right? Because you get to fly everywhere and it's exciting and you're going to new places all the time. And I'd be flying sometimes 5 days a week. But the other side of it is you're getting up at like 4 a.m., you're getting in a suit, you're getting cleaned up, and then your car arrives and you go to the airport in the taxi, and then you're sitting there and the food's usually terrible and flights are delayed and all this stuff happens. And then, you know, I would get there, and usually there'd be, you know, I'd get the first flights out in the morning to wherever I was going, but then there'd be a rush to get to the client on time and to start speaking on time, and you'd be stuck in traffic. And you can see immediately how I could link up stress with travel. And then, you know, often if I had several things to do in over a few days, I'd be exhausted, I'd be on stage speaking, and then wouldn't get enough rest time. And then so I tied up all these associations of being exhausted or being, and I want to thank Karen, my wife, because she really pointed this out just a couple of days ago. She was like, I said, you know, I'm doing more speaking again, you know, but every time I look at doing more, I sort of get this tiredness. And she said, oh, that's an association. It was really good insight. Here's me, the life coach, and then she's helping me. Because I realized, yeah, I did it. I used to travel that way and experience it that way. But I will say that I began to change it. And this is step two. So what's one? Step one is identify something that you don't like to do or you hate doing, but you have to keep doing it. So identify step one. And step two is to brainstorm how you could begin to use new associations. So this is where you can get really creative and you'll go, I can't be that simple. I go, no, it is that simple. You can make the smallest changes, the subtlest changes, and get big results. So what I used to do is, instead of flying in, you know, first thing in the morning, I'd say to clients, look, it's going to cost you a little bit more, but I'm going to come in the night before. I'm going to stay in a hotel at the airport. And what used to happen is I'd fly in the night before, I'd get into the hotel, have some good food, I'd get a fair bit of work done, and then I'd just have some time for reading, and it was quiet, and I'd get a good night's sleep, and I'd get up in the morning, and I'd be so much fresher. I could leave a bit earlier from the airport, get plenty of time to get there, and I'd turn up feeling really good, but I also enjoyed good food and silence and reading. And sometimes if I had to be there for a few days, I'd set up some golf, you know, like I would have reciprocal memberships at some really good clubs, and I'd be in a different city, take my gear, and I'd go and play golf for a few hours after speaking before the next day's speaking. So all of a sudden, I began to break down these negative associations and literally build new associations. It's that simple. And there's a third step, because we're so busy and we take in information that often when I'm speaking to you, I'm really keen that you can realize that the steps I suggest are going to take, well, this is step three, allowing time, right? So step one is to identify what the thing is that needs to change. Two is to get really creative with choosing new associations. And I mean that, creative. Like, your brain will go, you'll suggest something, and your brain will go, that's stupid. But it's not stupid. Like, anything that just adds something to it or creates a different feeling state will begin to shift the associations. But three is to allow time. You know, it won't change the first day. So if exercise is hard and you put in a new association, I'll give you an example. Like, you can say to a friend, hey, let's run together, or let's walk together, or let's, at the end of it, we'll meet at the pool and we'll swim 10 laps. And then, you know, or we'll go for a coffee, we'll have breakfast together once a week. And you can get, there's no limit. You can be so creative about these different associations you can build in over time. And then, you know, come back to where I started with this friend who, you know, hated fitness. I'm so convinced that if she could get creative and choose positive experiences that eased her into the enjoyment of exercise over time, then she'd see real change. So there you go. That's the idea for the week. Where are your negative associations? Find those things that you find hard to do. That's the clue. They're going to give you clues because you'll hate doing them, or there'll be chores, they'll be difficult, and then you can track the associations, create new ones. Exciting news for me. My book, Bridging the Gap, sold out of the entire first print run. Been working with a great editor and building the second print run. We're going to print that in the next few weeks, and it's going to go out all around the world. I'm even sending it to NFL teams overseas and in the US, and going to do some speaking around the world. Really looking forward to that. But if you'd like me to come and speak at your organization, your business, your school, just get in touch with me through the website, and we can tailor something on all the work that I do to really help your organization, your people, look at peak performance. Because life's short and you're allowed to enjoy it, and you've just got to do these simple practical things to grow every day. So do me a favor, grab the link from wherever you're listening to this, post it on your social media feed, share it with people, email it to some friends, say, hey, listen to this, I hope it's been useful. Post a comment under here. Just, you know, tell me about things you find really hard to do. Or if you've created new associations for something, tell me what they are. I'd love you to post a comment. So there you go. I'm Jonathan Doyle. This has been the Associations Weekly Podcast, and I'll speak with you again next week.